Well, we come at last to the last day of the Christmas season and one of the most mysterious feast days of the entire year, the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus. Now, three questions here today. Number one, why on earth is Jesus being baptized? Number two, how on earth is this considered to be Christmas? And number three, and maybe most important of all, what difference does this make to us in our lives? Okay, so one at a time. First of all, why on earth is Jesus being baptized? Well, when we have a baptism right over here in our font, what happens? Three things happen. Original sin is washed away. You're made a member of the church, and you're filled with sanctifying grace. First of all, original sin is washed away in baptism. Whether you like it or not, you were born into a condition that you inherited. You are deprived of God's sanctifying grace, and you are alienated from God as your Father. These are among the conditions of that reality which we call original sin. There are more effects to original sin than that, but spiritually speaking, those are the two most prominent. And they're washed clean in baptism. You're given God's sanctifying grace, and you're made an adopted son of God. And if you're baptized as an adult, not only is original sin washed away, but every sin you've ever committed in your entire life is washed clean just like it never even happened. Once upon a time, I was walking down the halls of the hospital. Man in a room caught sight of my Roman collar, called me into the room. He said, "Father, I've never been baptized. The doctors are telling me this is the end of the line for me. I want to be baptized, you know, because I'm 83 years old." So I baptized the man right there on the spot with water in a Dixie cup. And when I told him that every sin he'd ever committed in his entire life had just been washed clean like it never even happened, he wept tears of joy. He was in the hospital on another occasion, speaking to a woman. She was 30-something, maybe 40-something. And she told me that she'd spent her life sowing her wild oats. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, the whole thing. But she'd never been baptized. And she wanted to know, would God have her? Could she have baptism? And I baptized her right there in the hospital with a thimble. Died a couple of days later. And I tell you, when we had the funeral in the church, the place was filled with people that had never darkened the doorstep of a church before in their lives. And I had to explain to them all that in spite of whatever they might have remembered of their deceased friend, she shot straight to heaven and didn't pass go on the way because she went on Christ's own merits. All of your sins are washed away in baptism. Let me tell you, you make off like a bandit. You're also, in baptism, made a member of the church. Now, here's something people misunderstand by and large. You are not a member of the church in the same way somebody, say, a member of the Knights of Columbus or a member of the Elks Club. Despite all popular opinion to the contrary, this is not an organization. This is an organism. And we are all alive with one spiritual life, Christ's own life, given to us for the very first time in baptism. And you're also given sanctifying grace. Now, let me ask you a question. When you die, you hope to go to heaven and live there forever and ever and ever, world without end, amen, correct? Question for you here this morning. By what logic do you think that you are going to live forever and ever and ever? By what logic? That's not in your nature, but it is in God's nature. which is given to you as a flat-out gift in baptism. Now, that's what happens. We baptize a little baby right over here in this font. And as an aside, let me ask you this. Do you know the date of your own baptism? Look it up. Since the day you were born, that is the greatest day of your entire life. Till the day you die, God has never done more for you than he did for you on the day of your baptism. Know the date of your baptism and celebrate it, you know? Look it up. People know birthdays, people know friends' birthdays, people know anniversaries, people know friends' anniversaries. Nobody knows the date of your baptism. Go ahead and look it up. So this is what happens when we baptize a baby, and then we turn and we look at Jesus and we say, does Jesus need to be made a member of the church? No. Jesus is the church. He is the body of Christ into whom we become members. Does Jesus need sanctifying grace? No. Jesus is sanctifying grace that we share in. And I hope you don't need me to tell you that Jesus does not have any sins that need to be forgiven. So why on earth is Jesus baptized? And the answer has to do with this. The baptism of Jesus is not our sacrament of baptism. It is a Jewish ceremony, which I'm told still exists. You can go into a Jewish synagogue and you see a little pool of water. A ceremonial washing away of all the sins of your life. They don't call it baptism. I believe they call it mikvah. I might have the pronunciation wrong. But that's what John the Baptist was doing out in the desert. And that is what Jesus himself received when he was baptized. And the reason he does it is this. He is identifying with us as sinners. And that's what you do when you love somebody. You identify with them in their condition. I can tell you a story of a burly, tough NFL quarterback whose son had leukemia, had to undergo chemotherapy. And you know what happens when you go through chemotherapy, all your hair falls out. So this tough, burly NFL quarterback, this starter who's always face on television, shaved his head bald. Why? To identify with his son in his suffering. Love does that. I once tried to join the Missionaries of Charity priests. You know, they work with the poorest of the poor. And I went to their home on the border towns in Mexico. And if you've never been there before, some of the poorest places in all of Mexico are those border towns. And I come in, and they tell me that they had this beautiful garden that they just planted right there, you know, in their priest's residence. And they had bushes, and they had flowers. And wouldn't you know it, no less than Mother Teresa herself came to the house and ordered them to rip out the garden. And they said to her, "Mother, Mother, why should we rip out this beautiful garden with its lovely bushes and beautiful flowers?" And she raised up her hands and looked up into the hills surrounding the priest's residence with all the slums and all the shacks and all the shanties. And she said, raise up your eyes and look. Do you see anybody up there who has anything like this as a part of their life? Rip it up. We must be one with the people. That's why Jesus is baptized. He's Emmanuel, God with us, which, by the way, explains why this is part of Christmas. Now, if ever there were an un-Christmassy feast day, you know, it's got to be the baptism of Jesus. You know, Bethlehem and the shepherds, that's Christmas. The Star of Bethlehem and the Magi, that's Christmas. But for goodness sakes, Jesus is 30 years old at the time of today's feast. By what stretch of the imagination is this still Christmas? Answer, have you forgotten what he was born for? He was born to be Emmanuel, God with us, not to be just a great teacher, not to be a great philosopher, not to be some great political or religious leader. He was born to be a sin offering, to open the kingdom of heaven to us who were shut out by sin, which, by the way, is the reason why this is the only time in the Bible in which the Holy Spirit is depicted as being a dove. You know, you think of the Holy Spirit as being a dove, and you never stop to ask why. The reason is in this gospel, only gospel in all the Bible in which the Holy Spirit is depicted as a dove. Why is the Holy Spirit depicted as a dove? Answer, a dove was a sin offering in the temple. If you were rich, you offered a bullock or a ram or a head of cattle. But if you were poor, the sin offering was a dove. Anyone hearing this gospel for the very first time would have known Jesus came as a sin offering. As Isaiah said, he came to be counted among sinners. That's what he was born for, and that is why this is part of the Christmas season. But it leads us to probably the most important question of all. You know, Jesus is baptized, and just to put it bluntly, so what? So what? What difference does this make to our lives? Well, it reminds us what Christianity is all about in the first place. God being one with us, before we leave the Christmas season, to remind us that we are meant to be one with him. Now, if I were to ask you rank and file right now in the pews, what's the Christian faith all about? I'm not going to do this formally, but if I were to ask you, you know what 9 out of 10 of you would say? And I don't mean any insult to this, but it's just a blatant fact. 9 out of 10 people would say, well, you know, Christianity is about imitating Jesus and witnessing to Jesus in the world today. Which is true, but my goodness, is that an impoverished understanding of what we're doing here? We are doing way, way, way more than witnessing to Jesus and imitating Jesus in our personal lives. If all we did was imitate Jesus, if all we did was witness to Jesus, for goodness sakes, we're nothing more than a club. You can imitate your favorite athlete and his athletic moves. You can, you know, stand in witness to the ideals of your favorite poet or author or philosopher. If you look in the book of Revelation, it'll tell you this. Your existence in heaven will be a union with God so close and so intimate that it is likened to a marital union. Which union, by the way, is only an earthly image of a heavenly eternal reality. That's how close God wants to be with you. What's Christianity all about? It's hard to put it into words. A mystical, eternal, unspeakably intimate, impossibly close union of love with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the meaning of life. That's what we're doing here. That's what you were born for. That's what this feast day reminds us of. The one who said it best had to be St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. That's the words of a mystic. Why was God born? To make such union possible. We're reminded of it today on the Feast of the Baptism of Christ. All of us, without exception, are further from God than we ought to be, and he wants his people back. I once heard Christmas described in a creative story as being like D-Day. And the story went something like this. A couple of soldiers were discussing among themselves plans for the secret invasion. They were going to reclaim enemy-occupied territory, and the king himself was going to go deep behind enemy lines to lead the charge. And as the story goes on, you realize that the soldiers are the archangels Gabriel and Michael. That enemy-occupied territory is the earth, God's territory, God's people, falsely occupied by the enemy, the devil. And Christ's birth is his action as a covert operative hiding behind enemy lines, leading the charge to God to reclaim what is his own. That's what Christmas is all about. Now, tomorrow, we go back to ordinary time. We put the green on once again, and we continue our annual remembrance of all the events of Christ's life. But even though the Christmas season ends, the reality of Christmas must continue. That's our prayer. He in you, and you in him, until he truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.